But again, he says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:26-29. Here was a sorer punishment than death awaiting, under certain conditions, persons who had been sanctified by the blood of the covenant. Surely these sanctified persons were of the elect, even according to the creed, for it says, sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby they, whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy, are, in time, through the powerful operation of His Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God. Larger Catechism, Answer to Question 75. Then Paul intended to teach that God's elect, after sanctification by the blood of the new covenant, might sin willfully and be worthy of sorer punishment than those who died without mercy under the law of Moses. But we will hear Peter on the same subject. He says, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2:20-22. Here we find that persons who have escaped the pollutions of the world may again be entangled in and overcome by them. And we are clearly told that if they are so overcome, then the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. Better for them not to have obeyed the gospel at all than to turn back into wickedness. As the sow that was washed may go back to her wallowing in the mire, so may he who was cleansed from sin become worse than before. Paul testified to such of his Galatian brethren as were circumcised that Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. Here it seems to us all controversy on the possibility of falling from grace should cease. We see no place for further argument on the subject. Indeed, we know not how to make an argument on a passage like this. We have learned how to reason from premises to conclusions, but here there is no room for reason. When Paul most solemnly testifies that such as had turned back to the law and been circumcised had fallen from grace, it must simply be accepted as true or the truth of the statement denied. Surely these were once in grace, in favor with God, in Christ, for it would be the merest twaddle to talk about persons falling from positions which they never occupied. This being true, it follows that every person who thus falls diminishes the number of the elect and increases the number of the reprobate. Hence, the whole theory of unconditional election and reprobation is untrue. But it is not only true that Christians, God's elect, may fall as individuals, but it is also true that congregations composing the Church of God at certain places may fall. In proof of this position, we refer the reader to several messages to the Asiatic churches, only a few extracts from which we have here room to make. After approving many good traits of character in the church at Ephesus, God said to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2:4-5. Here was a church which had many elegant traits of character, yet it had left its first love, so that it had to repent and do its first works or have its candlestick quickly removed. Certainly, this had reference to the removal of the church as a body. To the church of the Laodiceans he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:15-18. Here was a church which God said he would spew out of his mouth, and after many epithets of reproach upon it, he gives it such counsel as would enable it to reinstate itself in his favor by reformation and obedience. God said, If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel 18:21-28. This general principle characterizes all God's dealings with man in every age of the world.